Bruce, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Williams will throw for 300 yards. Back to you.
Love your football takes, Bruce.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Any idea when that will happen?
Then I'll keep that to myself.
So it was interesting to listen to Jed yesterday, and I'm just curious. You know, he spoke by himself, and I know that that's not new, but I in a different world, maybe Tom would have been with him. In a different world, maybe he and Craig Counsell would have shared the microphone. Is Craig going to do his own kind of state of the Cubs after the season powwow?
No, I don't expect that until the winter meetings. I don't expect to hear from him at all. But you know what, Mike? It's a really good question, because during the process yesterday, you know, I asked Hoyer about the relationship between him and Counsell, and he was above and beyond complimentary about what Counsell is going to bring to this team, not only in the first year where Counsell was questioned. You know, a lot of people felt coming in that he was going to make the difference in six or seven games. They were going to get close to that 90 win mark after last season, coming in here and being the manager with the most money made ever in the history of baseball. But he talked about him being, you know, an influence in every avenue, every department in the baseball operation. So I think he looks at Counsell as a conduit to his front office more than most front offices look at managers.
But Jed Hoyer did say that he feels great about where they are, and he explained why. This comes a couple weeks after we heard from Craig Counsell, who didn't sound like he felt great about where they were and why. And so, Bruce, I do continue to wonder, until we hear from Craig Counsell, maybe even after that, how much are the team president and the highest-paid manager in baseball on the same page?
Well, they're on the same page about winning, okay? As far as getting there, I think there was some discussions this year among them about where they need to go. Again, Counsell has the hammer. He has 4 years left at $8 million a year. It's the strongest position of any manager in baseball. So that said, he's going to use that position to do one thing and one thing only that managers want to do. They want to win, okay? They're put in the dugout to win. And he, having won in situations before in Milwaukee where they were not supposed to win, has a pretty good idea about how to get there, all right? And with Hoyer, I think Hoyer has embraced this. The front office has embraced the idea that this is a serious guy to listen to. You know, remember, Counsell had 3 years in the front office with Milwaukee before he became a manager. This guy was known among his teammates as one of the sharpest players in the game while he was playing. So this is, you know, again, a brilliant baseball guy. Now, baseball fans, Cub fans in particular, will say, well, why didn't they win more games? Why doesn't he show more energy on the bench? Why did the team look flat from time to time? And I think those answers are, you see that with every team that underperforms. To a certain extent, he felt his team underperformed. To a certain extent, I believe he thinks that the front office and the organization needs to spend their money more wisely as they move forward to try to win.
Do you believe that Cody Bellinger is going to opt out?
Boy, you can make arguments both ways, can't you? I mean, it's, first of all, he's got $30 million real dollars coming next year after a so-so year for him. He didn't have a bad year. He had an injured year again where he only played 130 games. But, you know, you see the difference in the team when he's out there, okay? When he's in the lineup, when the other team has to prepare for him, it's a different approach that they have to take. Did he have the impact he had in 2023? No, he certainly did not. He didn't slug anywhere near where they thought he would. He didn't think he did either. But to answer your question directly, you know, can he get $100 million for 4 years on the open market as opposed to $50 million that he has left over the next 2 years on the marketplace? Now, Scott Boras will look at him and say, sit down with him and say, at 29, which he'll be still this year, you are probably going to be looked at differently by other teams, other front offices, than you will be at 30 next year when you have an option again to make $20 million. So I think guys, you can look at it either way, that, hey, $30 million is a lot. Go out there. You have an option for 26 as well. Go out there, have a great year, and get yourself a longer-term contract. But knowing last year that other than Otani and Yamamoto, nobody really got huge contracts in Major League Baseball, and the RSN situation going on in baseball, you know, maybe you're smarter to just take that $30 million and come back.
Very interesting answer there, Bruce. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let me ask you about the White Sox. We heard from Terry Francona yesterday on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, and he was expressing his respect for Jerry Reinsdorf because he used to work in the White Sox organization, as everybody knows, and maybe has forgotten. Do you consider, knowing both men as well as you do you consider Terry Francona a candidate for the Sox managerial job or a role in the Sox organization?
I think the latter. You know, I think bringing in somebody with Chris Getz as a consultant, somebody that, you know, look, Tony La Russa is a consultant for baseball operations, but he's more a on-field guy. We're talking about a Dayton Moore who did it with Kansas City, or somebody of that ilk, you know, a Kim Ng who has such a great reputation in baseball and got a horrible situation put in front of her in Florida. Those are the type of people, you know, that can help a front office, not take away the power of Chris Getz, but add to it by their experience. I would love to see somebody like that come in. I remember when Kenny Williams was hired to be the general manager, the first move that Jerry Reinsdorf made was hiring Roland Heeman, who had such a great reputation and such a great baseball man, as a consultant with Kenny to get him through some of the rough parts of learning how to make trades, deal with other general managers, run a ball club. I would love to see that happen for Chris. I'd like to see Chris be a part of that because he is the top man in baseball operations. I'd like to see him have a say-so. He has a working relationship from the past with, with a few of these people. And I would say, you know, that him being involved would be a good idea. But I don't think you can have too many great baseball minds helping you when you're starting out something as challenging as rebuilding the Chicago White Sox.
How did they get here? What? How did they wind up with 41 wins in a season? I mean, something that happened overnight, right? I mean, it's almost like everything you tried was the wrong move.
Well, what you did was get rid of all your ballplayers from 2021 that won a division, okay? A lot of those guys turned out to be poisons in the clubhouse, and they went in that purge last year at the trading deadline. And then you had a really bad product. And then this year, you didn't try to win, okay? That's always difficult. You're trying to get better, but you're not trying to win. So what does that mean? You're going to depend on a lot of young guys who haven't proven themselves to go out there, and you're going to bring in some peripheral free agents to try to get you by, maybe lose 90 to 100 games and show some progress in those areas with young guys. Well, I think it worked to a certain extent with pitching, but it certainly didn't work with position players, okay? You would have a hard time pointing to position players that you rely on and that you trust going into 2025 with the White Sox, other than the catcher. You know, I think Lee showed that he has potential to be a really good big league catcher. He's got leadership ability. I think he stood up. But other than that, I think, you know, their work has to be trading for and developing position players because they went out there every day and averaged 3 runs a game. And you see the end result being 121 losses. You can't average 3 runs a game in Major League Baseball without getting your butt kicked.
Bruce, we got a minute left, but I wonder, because we're not going to hear from Craig Counsell for a while, as you said, and yet Jed Hoyer spoke yesterday, what does that mean about the future for pitching coach Tommy Hotovy, hitting coach Dustin Kelly? We know they made some moves on the staff, but those are the two biggest ones.
I think they're both back. I think they're both going to be in position. But I think keep your eye open for Counsell shifting coaches around, okay? So they're bringing back people, but are they all going to stay in the same role? That's what I'm going to be watching here over the next few weeks. He'll bring in 3 new coaches. Will one of them be a bench coach, a third base coach? Will the pitching coach have another job? Will the hitting coach have more help? These are things I'd like to see as Hoyer allows Counsell to bring in his own people and put them in the positions he feels are appropriate going forward.
Great stuff, Bruce. Appreciate your time as always, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Now back to football.
Now back to football. Not quite yet.
No.
Not quite yet, Bruce. Thank you, though.
See you, guys.
All right.